Hard to speak after such a wonderfully inspiring sicha by Rav Eli Brudny Shlita, and this oris I think is very much still in the ear. Just to sort of pick up a little bit on the theme of the moment, how can we mechazik ourselves as we approach Yom Kippur? This is not an ordinary year. And we have the Amuna, as I mentioned earlier today, to the Shir, we have the Amuna, and it was mentioned by Rav Brudny, that this is not a mikra, this is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan working in the world, and it's meant for us to rise to the challenge and make the most of it. As I mentioned also to the Shir, the vort of Naftali Trop, Ki Krova Yeshuasi Lavo, the Tzidkasil Higalos means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzidkus is embedded in all of world events. It's just a matter of revealing it. And the time will come and it will be revealed and we'll understand exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making things happen. Right now, we live with the Amuna and the belief that it's all for the good. And we have to know how to respond to that challenge. So I want to use as a springboard for what I want to share tonight, an expression that we recite in the Masor numerous times over the course of Yom Kippur, and we don't always give it the proper thought, and there's some beautiful ideas and insights that are really laden within these words. Toward the end of the bracha of Kedushas Hayom in the Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Kippur, and also later before the Vidui, we have the same expression that appears. We say, Ki atah sochan liYisrael, you are the one who naturally forgives to Kal Yisrael, u'machalan u'shifte Yeshurun, you grant pardon to shifte Yeshurun. And the question is, what exactly is the significance of the expression u'machalan u'shifte Yeshurun? I understand Ki atah sochan liYisrael, that says it all. You forgive Kal Yisrael. Why again do we emphasize machalan u'shifte Yeshurun? Why are we highlighting the idea of Shvatim of Kal Yisrael? Vahi b'shurin melech, Yeshurin is synonymous with Kal Yisrael, Shifte Yeshurin. What exactly is meant by this expression that we use here in the Shemoneh Esrei, as well as later on before we say Vidui? There is an idea that I found in the Rishonim. The Rabbi Yehuda Rav Yaakov was the Rebbe of the Ramban. And I read you how he explains this expression. Machon Shifte Yeshurin. This is a remez to a pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Chav Beis, one of the Shir HaMalos, the third of the 15, which discusses Aliyah L'Regel and describes how the Shiftei Ka would ascend to Yerushalayim from wherever they lived. You know, we were discussing, those of you who are in the Shir, remember we discussed just the other day the idea of Aliyah L'Regel and the Ptur that exists for some people from being Ola Regel, and the idea that going out of your way to leave your house and go to Yerushalayim, to go to Beis HaMikdash, in some way is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And the highlight here, according to the Merida Rav Yaakov, is the following idea. Shesham, the pasuk says there in Kuf Chav Beis, Shesham alu shvatim, there in Yerushalayim is where the shvatim ascended, Shiftei Ka, Eidus liYisrael, a testimony to Kal Yisrael, Lohodos l'shem Hashem, to show the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come on Shalosh Regalim. Says the Rida Rav Yaakov, what we say here is as follows, Shifte Yeshurun, we have to take inspiration from the Shvatim. And what is the inspiration that we are to take? Min HaShvatim Yesh Lanu Lilmod. We have to learn, Sheyesh Lanu Levakesh Mechila. We have to knock on Hashem's door. And we have to ask for mechila, lahodos l'shem Hashem, to, you could say here, maybe not just to thank, but to confess, to say vidui, l'eskaper begaluseinu, that we should find kapara in our galus. And what is the edus l'Yisrael of the Shiftei Ka, of the Shiftei Yeshurun? The edus gedole hiu inyan aseres ha-shvatim. The shvatim that came to Yerushalayim, Yehuda ben Yamin were there already, so he means the other shvatim who came as well, they left their homes, wherever they lived, not near the Yerushalayim, not near the Beis HaMikdash. They came to Yerushalayim to bring Karbanos and to find Kapara, to achieve Kapara. And that was what they did. They went out of their way. And so what's the lesson for us? Koshaken anachnu. All the more so we, she'en anu zazin bimkomim komeinu. We don't have to go so far. We're not moving from our place. We're sitting in one place. She'yesh lanu lehodos l'shem Hashem levakesh mechilo slicha. I was thinking of this in light of the world that we live in today, where, you know, there are people who are literally homebound, to the extent that they're afraid to even leave their house because of the concern of Chas v'Shalom catching COVID. Mamish, they're confined to their homes. And even those who are not quite confined to their homes, it's ki'ilu, we can't go very far. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a lockdown. It's going to get even more strict. And people can leave beyond however many meters outside their house. There's a sense of eino nezazin mimkomeinu. We don't have that opportunity to express our mesiras nefesh through action in the way that the Shvatim did. But they taught us something. When a person takes action, it inspires you. Sometimes the inspiration can come from within, and then it leads to what you do outside. Sometimes you it comes together, or sometimes it's from the outside in. You take an action. You go somewhere. You exert yourself. You put out effort, and then you feel inspired, and you're Moser Nefesh. So the Shvatim taught us how important it is to be Moser Nefesh, to go to Yerushalayim, to seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, to find Kapara. So if they can do it, and they can go all out for it, so we don't have necessarily the same opportunity to do it in the way they did, but we have to find ways within our limited context to exert ourselves and to recognize the importance and the value of what it means to find kapara. I think that's the first takeaway message for us today. And that's all from the same expression of Shifte Yeshurun. I want to take it out in another direction. This is what the Meshech Chachma does with the same expression. It's a very unusual expression. It lends itself to all kinds of interpretations. The Meshech Chachma is found in Parshas Achrimos, and he has a very powerful idea. He connects Shifte Yeshurun to the chait of Mechiras Yosef. And he brings a medrash in Mishle, which says the following, B'chol dor adayin chait shel Mechiras Yosef kayam. Every generation has still in it a vestige of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. And the Meshech Chachma explains that Sochan liYisrael, the first part of the sentence, that's keneged chet ha'egel. Hashem said, "Vayom Hashem selachti kedvarecha," that we recite the night of Yom Kippur, which we associate with chet ha'egel, even though it's written in Parsha Shlach, but it's connected to chet ha'egel. That's Sochan liYisrael. Umachalan l'shifte Yeshurun is the chet Mechiras Yosef. The chet that is the paradigm of Bin Adam Lamakom Averos, that's chet ha'egel. The chet that's the paradigmatic chet of Bin Adam Lachavero is the chet of Mechiras Yosef. And to the extent that we need a kapara within the realm of Bin Adam Lachavero, we need to hearken back to Shifte Yeshurun, and that is the reference of Machalan L'Shifte Yeshurun. It's interesting, because we find other associations between Yom Kippur and the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. If you think about it, we say a piyut called Ele Eskira. We have a piyut on Tisha B'Av beginning with Arzei HaLevanon, which commemorates and mourns Asara Rugi Malchus, and we have the counterpart coming from a different angle on Yom Kippur of Ele Eskira. And Ele Eskira tells in a very graphic, mournful way the death of the Asar Rugi Malchus, the great Tanoim, who we see this as somehow one event, even though historically they were separated by many years. It didn't all happen at the same time. But the Gzeira is seen as an Gzeira against Klal Yisrael, that these 10 great Kedoshei Elyon Tanoim were taken from us when they were persecuted by the Romans. And in that piyut, the Bel Eskira, you see a reference to Mechiras Yosef. And it's not coincidental, because as Rabbeinu Bechaya points out in Parshas Miketz and Parshas Vayechi, the mechet of Mechiras Yosef had 10 of the children of Yaakov involved. We know that Yosef was sold, and we know that there were 10 of the brothers that were involved with it. And 10 The ten shvatim that came down to Mitzrayim, Binyamin didn't go. They were in some way connected to Mechit Mechiras Yosef, and that chet remained without full closure. And he describes how, even though it seemed to have been reconciliation, but it wasn't full reconciliation, and that chet remained stored for us in the form of the onesh of Asarugi Malchus. Parshas Vayechi, we find that the brothers come to Yosef. Actually, they sent a message to Yosef asking Mechila. And they use the expression, Anasana Pesha Achecha Bechatasam Kirag Mawucha. They said in the name of the Father, they made up the story. Yaakov didn't actually say this, but they told Yosef that Yaakov had asked that Yosef forgive them. Vayef Yosef Bedabra Meilav. And Yosef heard. And he cried and he comforted them. Rabbeinu Bachya says an incredible thing. It's a chilling observation. He says, we don't find that Yosef actually granted mechila to the brothers. Yosef said it's okay. Yosef consoles them. But Yosef never was actually mochel. You don't hear Yosef saying, I mochel you. Whether that means that somehow within his heart, he didn't have the full extent of mechila. The wounds were still there, as some explain. Whether it means that mechila requires more than just feeling it's okay, you actually have to let go of the grievance, verbalizing it, and you have to say, I mochel, as some perhaps would argue. Whatever the pshat may be, there was something that was unfinished about the relationship which left the scars in the form of Asarugi Malchus. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya says there in Parshas Vayechi. So again, you see the connection to Yom Kippur. But it's striking, because there's another medrash in Yalkut Shimoni. On that pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, the lashon used by the brothers when they asked Mechila of Yosef, they said, Ana sana peshachecha v'chatasam. Says the Yalkut Shimoni Os Kuf Samach Beis in Bereishis, in Parshas Vayechi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Amartem V'lashon Ana. You use the language of Ana when you ask Yosef Mechila. Osid Kohen Gadol Ikones L'Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim U'melamed Sanigoria Al B'neichem V'lashon Hazeh Ana Hashem. The Kohen Gadol is going to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael, enter Kodesh HaKadoshim numerous times on Yom Kippur, and be a defense attorney for Klal Yisrael. And he's going to use, when he says the vidui, he says vidui multiple times, as we discussed earlier in Shir, on the par twice, on the Sar Lashem, on the Sar Lazazel. He would do it on Sar Lazazel. He did the vidui for Klal Yisrael, and the par he did for himself and for his family and all the Kohanim. Ana Hashem, Chatasi Avisi, Pashati, Chatu Abu Pashu, Ana Hashem. The Russian Ana, the Gemara in Yuma discusses, how do we know that we should use the word Ana? That's the Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin in Yuma, Minayin Sheba Ana, Nemakan Kapar, Nemalahalan by Chorev. When Moshe Rabbeinu davens after Chata Egel, he says, Ana Chata Mesar Chata Gedola. We learn out that we use the word Ana. It's interesting, the Rambam, parenthetically, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in the very beginning, when he tells you the formula vidui, the Rambam also uses the Lashon Ana, the person who says, Ana Hashem Chatasi Avisi Pashati. The Minchas Chinuch wonders why the Rambam said it. After all, the Gemara maybe is talking specifically about the Kohen Gadol's vidui. Specifically, that is a Lashon of Ana, like the Gemara learns it out. The Rambam assumed that every vidui requires an ana Hashem. That's what the Rambam felt. So you have to know, the Rav actually felt, Rav Salvechik, also Rav Yashiv felt, that when we say the introductory paragraph before Hashanu, so some Sidurim and Machzorim will have a parenthesis with the word ana. Ana tavo fanachat tfilaseinu, sometimes you don't say ana, and they felt that we should say the word Ana, because the Rambam saying that Ana makes its way into a regular vidui. It's not just the Ana of the Kohen Gadol. So this is now a medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, that the words used by the Achi Yosef to ask Yosef Mechila, so Kineged Zeh, we find the Ana of the Kohen Gadol. Exactly what's the message? The Magen Avraham has appeared in the Yalkut Shimoni, Zayis Ranan, says something interesting. He says, just as the Kohen Gadol was suspected of Chas V'Shalom being a tzeduki, they used to go through a whole process where they made him take a shvur that he wasn't going to change and deviate from the way that the Prushim, the Chazal, understood it should be done with the Ketores. After he went to Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would create the smoke, not before. And yet he knew he was suspected of being a tzeduki, and he still went and died for Kal Yisrael. And this is something that we learned from Yosef as well, that even though Yosef was being, they were choshed Yosef, that he would take the kama and he was going to do bad, but Yosef didn't take it that way. Yosef said, don't worry. So therefore, there's a sense of ana that we find in both places. The Maril Diskin in Parshas Achrimos says, you see in this medrash that there's something significant about the word ana. It has a chavivas to it. And that's why we find it by Yosef, when the brothers talk to Yosef, asking mechila, we find the Kohen Gadol uses the word anad. It's a special word. The Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Kisisa, in the Pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's anad, he says, anad is 52. 52 is twice Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We say Hashem, Hashem are the first two midos of Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Hashem, Kodem Sheyachta, Hashem, Le'achas Sheyachta, 26 and 26 makes ana. You see the power of the word ana in terms of what it means for tshuva. But either way, we see how connected we are with the chet of Mechiras Yosef when we come into Yom Kippur. Why is it so connected to Yom Kippur? Why is it so important to be metake in the chet of Mechiras Yosef on Yom Kippur? Now, the Beinu Bachya told us that without Mechila, the chet remains stored for generations to come. This Nebuch could be an onesh coming from it. We all know the Mishnah in the end of Yuma, the Mishnah tells us that if a person wants to get Mechila on Yom Kippur for Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's not enough just to do tshuva with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You have to ask Mechila from your chaver, and you have to get Mechila, you meratzeh him. We know in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, there's an entire simon in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Vav, that describes the details of Hilchos Mechila, Yifais Adam Eschaver, Be'ev Yom HaKippurim. It's part of Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. So on one level, it's important to know that we have to get together and make amends, because otherwise our kapara is being held up. But it's really more than that. It's much deeper than that. It goes to the essence of what Yom Kippur is all about. There's a Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that's quoted by the Tur on that simon, Tafresh Vav, the simon that talks about Mechila. And the lesson that's quoted in the Tur from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is as follows. He says, Ra Samael shelo nimsa chet b'Yisrael b'yom HaKippurim. Samael is the Mekatreg, the angel, the Satan that wants to find fault in Kal Yisrael. He says, Kal Yisrael, he sees Kal Yisrael Yom Kippur, they have no sins. I see this nation, they are like angels. And how are they like angels? So he continues, he says, Malach Yasharis don't have shoes. Yechefi Regal, they're barefoot. Kal Yisrael are barefoot, Yom Kippur. Just as Malach Yasharis, Elam Kefitsa, Yisrael, Elam Kefitsa, Omdim Abragayim, they're standing on their feet on the Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Malach Yasharis, on the Kiyim Mekochet, I mean, generally they are, Kach Yisrael on Yom Kippur, Nikiyim Mekochet. And finally, Ma Malach Yasharis, Shalom Beineim. Malachi Yesharis are a paradigm of shalom. We say in our davening, Ose Shalom Bimromov, the Pasuk in Iyob, Ose Shalom Bimromov. In the heights, in the heavens, Hashem creates shalom. The malachim get along. They might be different malachim. They might be very antithetical in terms of their natures. There's Gabriel, there's Michael. They have very different qualities. Gabriel is a malach of Eish. Michal is a malach of Mayim. And Eish and Mayim don't usually go together. And here they coexist. Ose shalom bimromav. So it is here. Ma malach yeshar shalom b'neim. Kach Yisrael b'yom HaKippurim is the same way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaper on us. So what do you see in this tour? That the inyan of creating amends, making amends and coming together, it's not just because you can't get your kapara without making amends, but it's part and parcel of the definition of Yom Kippur. And we actually say this in the Machzor as well. There's a piyut that we say right after Marakohen. It's a beautiful piyut. And it describes what this day is about. After Marakohen, we begin to sink into a sense of depression, of despair. Oh, this was amazing when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and now we've lost it, and it's hard to come to terms with it. But we say what we hope for is whatever we can do, we do. We hope that through talking about what wasn't a Beis HaMikdash, that could bring itself a kapara. Zichron dvarim tehei slichasenu, ve'inoi nafshenu tehei kaparasenu. Al kein berachanacha rabim nasat alonos yom tzom ha-kipur mazeh, with yom achilas avon zeh. Because of your great mercy, you gave us this great day. L'srichas avon ha-kaparas pasha. What is the nature of the day? So we begin to describe the essence of Yom Kippur as follows. Yom asa b'achila, yom asa b'shtia, yom asa b'rechitza, yom asa b'sicha, yom asa b'tashvish hamita, yom asa b'nilas asando. All this is straight out of Masech de Yuma, the last parak, the Yisurim of Yom Kippur. Clear. But then it goes on. Yom simas ava v'reyus, yom azivas kina v'tachlus. It's a day that we place among ourselves, ava v'reyus, camaraderie, a day that we abandon competition and jealousy. In the same breath, in the same paragraph that we're describing the quality of Yom Kippur as a day that you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't bathe, and so on, it's a day of simas ava v'reyus, it's a day of asivas kinev etachvas. In other words, Yom Kippur is defined by the spirit of achdus of Klal Yisrael. That goes to the heart of the definition of Yom Kippur. The tikkun of the Chet Mechiras Yosef lies in Yom Kippur, in the secret of Yom Kippur. That's what we see in the Pirkei Rav Elezer, that's what we see in the Machzor. And I want to understand this on a deeper level. Why is Yom Kippur so intertwined with that tikkun of Mechiras Yosef, which is the sense of pirud among Klal Yisrael, that the Shvatim are not in harmony? And what we need for Yom Kippur is that there's a shift of Yeshurun, there's a sense of harmony. We might be different in our paths. Every Shevet has its path, but ultimately we're reconciled with one another. We are like Malachim. What is the message? What's the idea? I was thinking about this, and I think that it goes to the essence of a number of Midrashim that describe what does Yom Kippur represent from the scheme of the beginning of creation. There is a Midrash that describes the first day of creation, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Or and separated in Or and Choshech. And the Medrash says, Bereishis Rabbah says as follows, Mitchilas b'riyasu shel olam, from the beginning of the world's creation, Safa HaKadosh Baruch Hu maseim shel tzadikim, maseim shel rishayim. Hashem understood and foreshadowed there's going to be b'chiras chafshis, there's going to be tzadikim who are going to do their thing, rishayim that are going to do their thing. The Ha'aretz Ha'isa Sohu Bavohu, that's Maseim Shel Rishoyim. Vayomer Ukim Yehi Or, that's Maseim Shel Tzadikim. Vayavdel Ukim Bein Or Bein Achoshech, Bein Maseim Shel Tzadikim, Maseim Shel Rishoyim. Hashem created a Havdalah, a separation. Vayikra Ukim Or Yom, that's Maseim Shel Tzadikim. Vayachoshech Kor Laila, Eil Maseim Shel Rishoyim. Vahi erev vahi voker, vahi erev eil masem shel shoyim, vahi voker eil masem shel tzadikim. Yom echad. Says the Medrash, Yom echad, shenasan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yom echad. Hashem gave the world one day, the ezezeh Yom HaKippur. So after talking about the two extremes which define the essence of Bechira, the Masem Shel Tzadikim and the Masem Shel Rishayim, the Medrash says, there's Yom Echad. The Yom Echad is Yom HaKippurim. What's the Pshat? What does it mean, Yom Echad is Yom HaKippurim? So the Perush of the Maharzu on the Medrash Rabbah says, why does it say Yom Echad? It should say Yom Rishon. Why does it say Yom Echad? The answer is, Yom HaKippurim is the day Shabo Nasim Yisrael Goy Echad, K'malach Yasharis, Aguda Achas, V'Shalom Beinehem, the Pirkei de Rav Elezer. And ultimately, through tshuva, even the Rishayim become tzaddikim. Because there's this Yom Echad, this idea that we can become one, and that allows the potential for even the Rishayim to embrace that unity of Klal Yisrael and do tshuva. Like we say when we come into Yom Kippur, Anu Matim L'Spal Imo Avaryonim, because we know that there can be hope for everybody. Even someone who's totally sunk in chait can grab on to a Yom Kippur and can ultimately find a way to back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Yom Echad is the day of Klal Yisrael's unity. But that unity of Klal Yisrael that allows everybody to ultimately come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that allows someone to come from the other side, from the Vayavdel, from the Masayim Shavishoyim, and transform themselves into a tzaddik, that Achdus that we look for on Yom Kippur, it's defining Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur really represents a higher Achdus as well. Why are the Malachim representing Achdus? And we are like Malachim on Yom Kippur. Because the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Echad, Ata Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echad is what defines everything in the world. And that's another comment in the Medrash on Vayhi Erev Vayivroke Yom Echad, why not Yom Rishon? So the Medrash says further, Shebo haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yechidi Ba'olamo, Shelo haya Ba'olamo Elohu. That day, nothing else existed but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mankind wasn't created yet, even Malachim weren't created yet. It was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one. The message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only force in the world, and Ein Od Milvado, that message is broadcast to the world through Klal Yisrael. And that's our mission, and that's our identity. What does Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad mean on the most basic level? Rashi quotes from the Sifrei. Hashem Elokeinu is, we recognize that reality of Hashem as being the only power in the world. We know it today. We affirm it, we believe it. Hashem Echad means at the end of time, when everything plays out, at the end of history, that the entire world will come to that realization as well. We affirm it today because we are the vehicle to get that message ultimately to the rest of the world. And therefore, the message of Achdus of Klal Yisrael is Dafka Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the Yom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely revealing himself in a way that we don't otherwise feel or connect with. It's the day that the Satan lost his ability to step in and do his thing. The Satan is powerless. HaSatan's Bigmatria 364, because there's one day of the year that the Satan is pushed aside, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally there without any barriers. With that, he brings himself kiviyachol down from the Shemaim, and he's palpably felt ba'aretz. That's why after Yom Kippur, there's a sense of ki'ilu, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going up to the seven rekiim. That's the seven Hashem Elokims. But down here below on Yom Kippur, we can feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu betachtonim in a very concentrated way. And if that's what it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here and he's palpable and he's echad, then for us, it means that we have to match that, because our identity is to speak to that reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's achdus. That idea is, by the way, articulated in the Ramban and Hazinu, very powerfully, and the pasuk Amarti Af Ehem, Ashpisa Me'enosh Zichram, the Ramban explains there, the message of Shiras Hazinu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels he has no choice kibiyachol but to step in and to save us at the point that we maybe would be chas v'shalom ready to become destroyed because of our averos. Hashem says, I can't do it, because if I don't have Klal Yisrael, then there's no purpose to the world. Because our identity is intertwined with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's reputation in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that he would become known to everybody in the world, that they would makir Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way that can happen is if there's a Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose us and he invested in us, and he can't turn back. Because so to speak, he kishimcha nikra alircha ba'alamecha and kishimcha nikra aleinu. Shimcha God v'kadosh aleinu karasa. The Ramban says it in his own beautiful way. And therefore, in order that there can be that mission to be fulfilled for us in the world, to stand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, there has to be a matching of the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. This is what we say in our Tachnun, Shomer Goy Echad, Shmor She'eris Am Echad, Va'ilvad Goy Echad, HaMeyachadim Shimcha, Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. In other words, we are Goy Echad, and we're Miyached the Shem Hashem, that He's Echad. And as we say in Shabbos Mincha as well, Ata Echad, Shimcha Echad, and parallel to that is Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. This is why the notion of Mechias Amalek is always connected to the sense of Achdus of Klal Yisrael, be it Mechias Amalek of Purim, where we know that Klal Yisrael become like one with Matanis Levyon and Mishloach Manos. That's the Mechias Amalek Bechina in Purim with Haman, and on Yom Kippur, which is the perhaps another aspect of Mechias Amalek with the Satan losing his power, we also have the emphasis on the Tikkun of the Chet Mechias Yosef and the sense of total Achdus of Klal Yisrael. I think this is really an important idea that we should take into Yom Kippur, because it's not just our own personal avoda. Of course it is. Of course we have to make the most for ourselves as individuals. But we have to feel that intense connection to Klal Yisrael, to the Tzibur. The kapara of Yom Kippur is not just a kapara on an individual level. It's a kapara that's chal on the Tzibur as well. We say in the bracha that we end with in the bracha in the Kedusha Sayom bracha, Melech Moche v'Saleach la'avonoseinu v'la'avonos Amo Beis Yisrael. Avonoseinu is our individual averos. Avonos Amo Beis Yisrael is the averos of Knesset Yisrael. Umaver Ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana is not about the Klal Yisrael. It's only the individual. And the Rav explained so much so beautifully, because Ashmoseinu is Milashin Shmama, desolation, total destruction, a sense that you should be completely destroyed. That can never happen for the Klal Yisrael as a collective. It can only happen Chas V'Shalom for an individual. So it's never going to be Ashmas Amo Beis Yisrael. That cannot be. It's Amaver Ashmoseinu. But the Kapara of Yom Kippur is tapping into the Kapara Klalis of the Tzibur. And I think this is why Sukkot follows on the heels of Yom Kippur. We all know the famous Midrashim about Sukkot and Dalet Minim, how the Dalet Minim represent different types of Jews. There's the Lulav and the Esrog and the Hadassim and the Aravos, and each one represents different type of a Jew, Torah, Masim Tovim, both, one, neither, and the Mechaper on each other. The idea of Achdus of Klal Yisrael is Sukkot, because Sukkot comes on the heels of Yom Kippur. And even the days that bridge Yom Kippur and Sukkot are also days that are meant to capture that same spirit of Achdus. The original Yom Kippur that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with Luchos Shnios, he came down on Yom Kippur, and the very next day, Motzei Yom Kippur, Vayakel Moshe es Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael, that's Parshas Vayakel, Motzo Yom HaKippurim, Moshe creates a sense of Kehila, of Klal Yisrael, conveying that sense of Achdus, and he tells them, Wosivaru Eish B'chol Mosh V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos, which the Chassidish Sfarim tell us, Wosivaru Eish B'chol Mosh V'Seichem is Eish HaMachlokes, because divisions of Klal Yisrael, divisions and fragmentations, are the ultimate destruction of Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Chet Nechimes Yosef is meant to teach us, of how we have to heal it. We have to be totally with each other, feel the Klal Yisrael, feel the connection to Klal Yisrael, not just living for ourselves, connecting to the sense of the Klal, the Kaparas HaKlal, and that's the Machal on the Shifti Yeshurun. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mochel, the Averos that stem from that Pirud Levavos that you have in Chet Mechiras Yosef, to the extent that it still exists. Yom Kippur is the way to take care of it and to bring us back to ultimate Achdus, which is the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, which is Keneged, the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shomer Goy Echad, which is Ba'al Yobad Goy Echad, HaMiachdim Shimcha Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, and that's our mandate. That's our mandate of Shema Yisrael. That's the ultimate unifier. We might have different drachim avodas Hashem, the different individual drachim, there are different paths, but we all are anchored in that unifying belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Achdus, just as the malachim have different paths and different messages and different mandates, because every malach is unique. So we're also unique in terms of our drachim, but we have that sense of shifteka, the shifteka in the best of ways, not in shiftika in the sense of the piridum vavos, but in shiftika in the sense that there's a total reconciliation, there's total closure. Whatever was missing at the time in Parshas Vayechi, we're mitaking through Yom Kippur. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us that inspiration for Yom Kippur and for beyond, for Sukkot as well, to feel for ourselves what we need, but to also feel for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs a Yeshua, Klal Yisrael needs Achdus. If we can be Ba'achdus, then we can do tremendous things. We can mamash bring Mashiach. I'm just going to close with a comment of Rabbeinu Yonah in the Sefer Igeres HaTshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah in Os Ches, he writes as follows: Chai v'adam lidrosh tov la'amo, v'chaveirav, v'chol hadvarm shu oev, v'dorish tov v'nafsho. Whatever person seeks for themselves to make himself better and his life better, he should seek out for his nation and for his friends. Shnema v'hafta l'racha kamocha, zekal gada b'torah, sh'al yidei ha-shalom mikaimim Yisrael ha-satorah. V'amur Rabbi Seinu, zekhon v'racha, shaku ha-shalom kineged ha-kol. Alkin anu omen b'tfila, osa shalom uvarei esakol. U'tfilas tzibur nishma'as kishehem b'shalom. Tfilas tzibur nishma'as kishehem b'shalom. We want our tfilas to be heard. Whatever we can do to promote shalom and to feel shalom, to feel connected to the Klal Yisrael, Be'ezras Hashem, Hashem oz amo yitein, Hashem yivarech esamo b'shalom. I wish everybody gmach hasima tova, and etzlacha b'chol tuf. Shkayach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Marcel Tova, Rabbi. Thank you. Hi, Shalom Aleichem. Are we ready? Who's in charge of here? Someone? Am I running this? Okay. Who's on the graduate tour studies?
You're good to go.
Okay. Yom Kippurim, of course, is a unique day throughout the calendar. It's a day that we are similar to Malachim, and therefore we have the highest of aspirations when it comes to the day of Yom Kippurim, as Rabbi Adler just mentioned. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, HaSatan is Gematria 364. Because the Satan has influence over us 364 days out of the year. But there's one day, of course, when we are free from the influence of the Yetzer Hara, that, of course, is on Yom Kippurim. The Bnei Yisrael actually notes that Yom Kippurim is described in Parshas Achrima as Ahas Bashana, as once a year, because which can mean not only once throughout the year, the impacts on the rest of the year, like one time a year we do something and that changes the rest of the year. It also could be that it's different from the rest of the year. Achas B'Shana means it's separate from the rest of the year, but the date of Yom Kippurim is somewhat distinct from that of the other Yom Tovim. It's somewhat outside of the regular realm of time that we're used to dealing with. That's why he says all the other Masechtas that are named after different Yom Tovim, you have Psachim, you have Rosh Hashanah, we have Sukkah, we have different Masechtas that are named after the different Yom Tovim, so we should have had a Masechtas Yom Kippurim, but we don't. We have Masechtas Yuma, the day. Why isn't the Yom Tov described in the title of the Masechta, like Psachim, like Rosh Hashanah, like Sukkah? So he explains, or Megillah. So he explains that it's because Yuma just means the generic day, because Yom Kippurim really has no tfisa, has no attraction in this world. It exists in an entirely different plane of time than we're accustomed to. And in fact, that's why the Apostle says, with regards to Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he would like. He can't come whenever he would like, says the Klei Yakar. And Chumash, he can only come at a time that is beloy Eis, a time that really has no Tfisa in this world, in the time and dimension of time we're used to, and that's Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is Yuma, the day. It says, Achas Mishanah, separate from everything else we're accustomed to. And therefore, because it has such a high aspiration, such a holy character, it's a day that we aspire, right, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way possible, to become, as it were, similar to Malachim. And in general, it's always a good idea to have great aspirations when it comes to Limud HaTorah. I always encourage Talmidim to buy as many Svarim as possible, to make as many plans to finish Masechtas as possible. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachah, is commenting in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Harech Epicha V'amalehu, open up your mouth as wide as you would like, and I will fill it. And the Gemara asks, but that's not true. In life, a person should be Sameach B'chelko, he should be happy with what he has, and he should daven for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to sustain his needs. The Gemara says, if he asks for too much, Gashmius, when he doesn't get it, he'll be disappointed and he'll feel as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cheated him. So the Gemara says you should only ask for that which you need. So the Gemara comments, no, ha, who be divrei Torah ksiv? When it comes to divrei Torah, to religious, to spiritual aspirations, a person should, you know, dream and you know, open his mouth as wide as he would like. He should, you know, reach for the stars. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us that we'll be able to get there. And therefore, it's really not a good idea in general in life to, you know, at least when it comes to religious aspirations, you know, to have a fallback plan. Right, a fallback plan usually implies that a person is likely to fall back. That's why people make fallback plans, because they know themselves. They've been down this road before. So it makes a fallback plan. You know, what will happen? Just in case, right? He doesn't follow through. At least he'll get this or that. You know, sometimes people use the minor in college for that, right? I have a major. I hope I like it. But just in case, I always have, you know, the minor. But a fallback plan is really a bad idea, because it really shows a lack of commitment to the goal that we hope to achieve. That's why it's dangerous to create fallback plans. However, even on this day of Yom Kippur, when we have the biggest of aspirations, when we hope to be similar and to emulate Malachim, the first Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Yuma that the Kohen Gadol, they used to appoint a backup Kohen Gadol, just in case this Kohen Gadol, right, would become possible. There was someone else who was waiting in the wings. And then he also had a second wife, who is waiting in the wings, because the pasuk says, "V'chiper ba'ado va'ad besoy besozu ishto." He has to have a wife on Yom Kippur in order to achieve a kapar for the rest of Israel as an extension of his own family. He must have his own family. So why do we prepare all of a sudden Yom Kippur, the day when we have the greatest of aspirations? You know, when we only are reaching for the stars, we want to become similar to Malachim. All of a sudden now we're looking behind the back. We're making a full, you know, fallback plan. Who knows? Already we're already hedging our bets. Why on such a holy day are we making these kind of fallback plans? And I believe that there really is a fundamental difference between a fallback plan of a person who's not sure he's going to follow through on his goals, which is a little bit dangerous because we're already creating a safety net for ourselves, which can be, can be dangerous. If a person knows himself, he might have to do that, right? But we hope to do better. We hope to have commitment and to have stamina and to invest the effort that's necessary in order to reach our goals. There's a difference between a fallback plan and I think what is can be more accurately described as a contingency plan. The Mishnah is telling us in Masechtas Yuma that sometimes things, circumstances don't go our way. See, a fallback plan implies a person doesn't have the effort, doesn't have the stamina, doesn't have the will and the desire to succeed. So that's dangerous. When a person has a contingency plan, there's sometimes things that are out of our control. We could invest all the effort in the world and we just, you know, it's not in the cards for us to be matzliach. Then it's important for in life to have a contingency plan. And that's what the Mishnah here is teaching us in Masechtas Yuma. There always has to be a plan B in order to succeed. Not because we're afraid we're not going to invest the efforts that are necessary, but because sometimes things are beyond our control. It's important for us to have a contingency plan to have to succeed nonetheless. You know, if there's any, term that we could describe this year and a little bit at the end of last year, it's the year of the contingency plan, right? No one envisioned to have such a year in Yeshiva like we had at the end of last year, certainly like we're having this year. These things are not because of a lack of effort. They're just simply right beyond our control. And the first Mishnah in Yuma teaches us that when a person embarks upon a new year of Avodas Hashem, it's important to have a contingency plan. And certainly we know that. We know that well, and we shouldn't feel bad about it, but we have to, nonetheless, prepare for it, just like the Kohen Gadol prepared on his Avodah on Yom Kippur. And I believe that's important for us. And in fact, this message is highlighted at the beginning of the Torah and at the end of the Torah as well. The Torah concludes with the pasuk of U'lechol hayana chazak u'lechol hamara hagadol sh'asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. All the great wonders that Moshe Rabbeinu performed in front of the eyes of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi writes that this is an allusion to the Shviras HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos, which is described by the Pasuk as Va'ashabrem Le'enechem. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos in front of the eyes as it was being observed by Klal Yisrael. And this is alluded to by the last words of the Chumash, La'ene Kol Yisrael. There was also all the miracles Moshe Rabbeinu performed in front of the eyes of Kol Yisrael, an allusion to the Shviras Halukos. What a terrible, depressing way to conclude the Torah, right? Don't we want to end off on a high note with a bang? What do? We conclude with one of the most embarrassing, moments in the history of Kol Yisrael, and certainly doesn't seem to be, the highlight of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. Why would we, conclude on such a sour note? So Rebbe Meir Bach explains in a Sefer Pnei Das that perhaps this is not a sour note at all. It really represents Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest accomplishment as the leader of Klal Yisrael, because it demonstrates that Moshe Rabbeinu was not in it for himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was only here to help the Jewish people. Sometimes people begin movements or they start organizations within the Jewish community entirely lishma, with the best of intentions. However, as time goes on and they invest more and more effort in that organization, it becomes difficult for them to assess whether it's achieving its goal or not. And usually they just continue on with it because, there are too many people working for the organization. There are too many tentacles of the organization within the community. We have to continue. We don't have another choice. So they become, biased in terms of their assessment of whether or not they're actually achieving their goals. There's a great Jew named Marvin Schick. Passed away in the last year. Was involved in starting the RJJ school, which had its heyday a few decades ago. But he was involved in many other projects. Started the RJJ Journal, which you might have heard about. That was one of his lesser accomplishments. But Marvin Schick wrote an article once in one of the Jewish newspapers, and he said, "Why is it that we have so many organizations in the Jewish community? Like we have an unbelievable, we can have an alphabetical index of all the organizations, and they seem to somewhat overlap. And unfortunately, it's because of this reality of that when people start an organization, they all do it because there's a need. But sometimes we lose our way in being able to honestly assess whether we're accomplishing our goals and whether we should actually continue in the first place." And Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, says Rebbe Meir Bloch in the Sefer Pnei Das, was that he was able at the end, even though he worked his whole life to receive the Luchos and Har Sinai from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he saw that the Jewish people weren't ready, he didn't hesitate to break the Luchos and to start all over again, to start from scratch. And that is a great testimony to the to the character and the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. We find a similar quality, actually, with regard to Shimon HaMsuni. Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, that Shimon HaMsuni had the Eresh Kol Esen Shabbatayra. Every time the Torah says the word Es, Shimon HaMsuni derived the Dum Halacha from that word Es. How many times does it say the word Es in Chumash? I don't know about that. So many times, every time it says the word Es, he derived the Dum Halacha. Until he got up to the Pasuk of Es Hashem Elokech Patira, and you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what could possibly be equated, added to the fear that we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam Upire. She gave up the whole Derech HaLimon. Now, you remember, Es Hashem Elokech HaTira, I think, is in Parashas Ekev, or Parashas Voschana. It's all the way in Sefer Dvarim. So he went through Breishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, every S. He must have had an entire doctoral thesis there. And what did he do when he got up to one pasuk? He threw out the entire thing. And they said, tell me, and said to him, Rebbe, what's going to be? He said, Kishem, Shekibat, Iskara, Adrisha, Kaka, Kabal, Skara, Prisha, which has many, many implications. Leave out Torah, not only about saying Chidush Torah, it's also about removing things that are wrong. And he's going to receive Talmud Torah, for that as well. Until Rabbi Kiva came along and he was Darash, Es Hashem Elokei HaTira, L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim, to include Talmidei Chachamim. And the Velt asked, the world asked, why did Rabbi Kiva have the wisdom to make this drasha and Shimon HaMsuni did not? Why couldn't Shimon HaMsuni say, Es Hashem Elokei HaTira, L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim? He went through the entire Chumash with this. He couldn't figure out that L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim. So Rashi says, no, he was afraid to equate anything with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even Talmidei Chachamim, he didn't want to equate the fear that we have for Talmidei Chachamim with that of the fear that we have for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, if that's the case, how did Rebbe Kiva have the temerity to make such a drasha? If Shimon HaMsuni was afraid to do it, the fools rush in where angels fear to tread. How did Rebbe Kiva run in and make such a drasha? So Rebbe Gifter explains that it's because once Rebbe Kiva saw that Shimon HaMsuni was so lishma, he was willing to throw out his whole, mahalik, his whole methodology of learning for the sake of truth. So then he said, no, we have to equate the covet of the Talmidei Chachamim with that of the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. Okay, that's perhaps one message that the Torah is conveying at the end, with that allusion to Shviras Halukos, a testifying about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, perhaps what is also teaching us is that a person should never be embarrassed that, to start over, to say, well, this is not working. And I'm going to, the details or, the circumstances are beyond my control. Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel was beyond the control of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hesitate to say, you know what? This isn't working. He scrapped the entire thing and he started with the plan B with the Luchos Shniyos. And we give him a Yasher Koyach to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yasher Koyach to Shibarta, Yasher Koyach that you had the strength to realize this isn't working. It's tightness. It's not going. And Moshe Rabbeinu had the strength of character to recognize, and not to be embarrassed about that, but to recognize that, you know, the reality was in front of his eyes, to scratch the plan, and to start over. And I believe that the Torah begins with some such a similar message as well. The Medrash tells us that it comes from Parshas Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos U'Machriban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many worlds before this world, which he was unsatisfied with until he got to this world where he was satisfied. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos, there were 974 generations prior to the creation of Adam HaRishon, perhaps echoing this Medrash, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos U'Machriban. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is betachlis, you know, Hashleimos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do, you know, anything that he wants at any moment, and create a perfect world the first time around. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to kind of, you know, have this process of trial and error in creating a world that seems almost silly? Why go through the exercise? Our Soloveitchik explains, it's quoted in a Sefer by Rabbi Bezdin, Hashkafas Harav, I think it's called, where Rav Soloveitchik explained that this was a running theme in the thought of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Shaffer talks about this at the beginning of the Nefesh HaRav in an article entitled Halachta B'Drochav. Rav Soloveitchik felt that many times the Kadosh Baruch Hu does certain things in order to model behavior for us, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Kisavah V'Halachta B'Drochav, we're all created B'Tzelem Elokim in the image of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which demands that we follow within the ways we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, and we should be merciful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavakar Chayelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited Avram Avinu when he was sick. We should also be Mavakar Chayelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Harumim. He clothed Adam and Chava. We should also be Malbish Harumim. All of these qualities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates for us, we are intended to emulate. That's why the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs the mitzvahs too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes shiduchim also. And why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu involve himself in all of these things, which seem to be, you know, almost silly for him? The answer is, he's modeling this behavior for us. And so too, said Rav Soloveitchik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through this process of trial and error in creating the world in order to model the behavior for us, that we should not be embarrassed either. If a person has to be borei olamos u'machriban, sometimes to destroy everything that he's working on because it's just not working and the things are beyond his control, not because he's lacking in effort and determination, it's just beyond his control, and we have to understand that to recognize reality in front of us and to adjust accordingly. And to have the courage to begin again, which is truly something that that is more difficult than is you know, is more difficult easier said than done. It's something that's not so easy to do. I always thought that's the simcha that we have on Lag BaOmer. You know what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer, which is more of a recent innovation. But what are we really celebrating on Lag BaOmer? The Talmidim Rebbe Akiva stopped dying, right? The Gemara says in Yevamos they died during this period of the year. And the Meiri and Abu Draham write, and it's quoted in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, that it's because they stopped dying a Lag BaOmer. Machlokes was a Lam Medalid BaOmer, was a Lag BaOmer, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, two different minhagim. Why is it a time of Simcha? They stopped dying. You know why they stopped dying, Rabbi Yisai? There were none left. They had all died. That's not, what's the Simcha? That we exhausted all the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva? What's the Simcha? So Prichadash says already, no. The Simcha is, because the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, after all the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva died, what did he do? He started over with five Talmidim, one of whom was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Maybe Lag BaOmer is not the yard side of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the day that he became one of the Talmidim, the prime Talmud of Rebbe Akiva. And with those five Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva, all Tanoim, who we know their names, who we involved with every day, it was those five Tanoim who restored, carried, etc., to cause for generations. So we're applauding Rebbe Akiva's strength, his optimism, on Lag BaOmer, that even though all of his Talmidim died, he had the courage to begin over again. This is a message that we have to recognize as we go into the year. We are ending the Torah, beginning the Torah. Such a message also resonates on Yom Kippurim as well. Not to have a fallback plan because we don't believe in ourselves and our abilities, but to have a plan B because sometimes things, as we all know, right, are beyond our control. I think that we see this message again right at the beginning of the Torah and at the end of the Torah. The Parashas V'zeis HaBracha, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu died at the age of 120. Why did he live specifically to be 120? So that Ri'ah Kodesh says, that it's because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Truma of the world. The best the world could possibly hope to produce was Moshe Rabbeinu. He had great potential, the greatest potential, says the Rambam, more than any other human being, and he maximized his potential. We can also maximize our potential, but none of our potential reaches the level of the potential of Moshe Rabbeinu. Fine, and what is the Shir of Truma? What is the Shir of Truma? The Mishnah says in Masechet Trumas, ideally, right, the you know, person should separate one out of 40. The Mida, the Mida Beinonis is 1 out of 50, a Mida Ra is 1 out of 60. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived to be 120 years old. How long was the world supposed to exist? 6,000 years? What's the Mida Beinonis? 1/50th of 6,000 is 120. 50 times 6,000 times 120 is 6,000. Everybody says 1225, right? 50 times 120 is 6,000. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived to be 120 years old. Truma b'mida beinonis of what the whole world can hope to produce. However, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu tana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the end of his life came, he didn't want to die. He says, "Loi amos ki echya v'asaper masaka." I want to live more. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want to live more? He didn't realize. So I've called them lamos after the chet of Adam Arishin. Every person dies. He wanted to live forever. What was the tana of Moshe Rabbeinu? So in the Sefer Amudeha Shiva, itself of Kubrin, explains, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live another 30 years. Lamos ki echya. Another 30 years. What did he hope to accomplish in another 30 years? Let me accomplish 120 years. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Tumba Rabba Ayin Yofa. He wanted to do not 150th, 140th. That's more. So if a person would be 140th of the length, the duration of the length of the world, that's the 140th of 6,000, should be 150. One who would live a life of buying off and have to be the business. Who wants to be mediocre? He don't be mediocre. He buying off it. No. Why no? So I believe the answer is the Shaku was showing Moshe Rabbeinu to teach all of us, not everything in life happens with Bemida Yafa. We all want to be Bemida Yafa, and we should strive for Bemida Yafa. And that's what Yom Kippurim is all about. But understand, sometimes you have to prepare a plan B. There has to be a second Kohen Gadol. There has to be a second family over here. Why? Sometimes things don't work out, and we can't be depressed about that. That has to be, you know, the way our attitude from the very beginning. Sometimes things are beyond our control, and we have to plan for contingency plans as well. And even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what is the Gemara of the Rashi called the beginning of Bereshis? The Pasuk says Bereshis Bara Elohim, because Baruch Hu created the world with the word Elohim, which is Midas Hadin. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw Midas Hadin is not going to work for the world. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Shite for my Midas Harachman. He diluted it with the Midah of Rachman, as the Pasuk says, B'yom Asais Hashem, the Shem Havaya, which means Midas Harachman, as opposed to Shem Elohim, which means Midas Hadin. B'yom Asais Hashem Elohim. Why? That's not the way Hashem wanted to create the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't create the world, but then if that's what he wanted, the answer is Hashem is showing us again by example that we could want to have, you know, to do, accomplish a lot. Sometimes things are beyond our control, just doesn't work, and we have to recognize that, to have the strength to sometimes tear it all down and to start all over. And I think that we see this right at the beginning of the Chumash as well in another place. You know, we get the sense from reading Parashas Bereishis, Kiyu, the mice of Bereishis went off without a hitch. Baruch Hu saw everything he created and it was good. Gevaldik, mamish, everything is smooth as it could be. However, the truth of the matter is, if you look underneath the covers, it is mamish just the opposite. Every single day of creation, there were problems. What happened the first day of creation? Akash Baruch Hu created the light. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Chagiga, on that first day that he created the light, Akash Baruch Hu recognized it was too bright. He took half the light, and he was going as it lost a level for the tzaddikim. Some claim you could tap into that light through the Neiros Hanukkah, but that light is gone. The original light is gone. So already the first day, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to tone it down, take some of the light and put it away. What happened the second day? Kadosh Baruch Hu was mavdil between the Mayim HaYodim and the Mayim HaTachtonim. It says in the Tzara HaKodesh, the Mayim HaTachtonim got angry. Why are you being mavdil us? Mizim HaShchina. They wanted to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we're maching them with Mayim Rishayim and Mayim HaChrayim, whatever it is. The water got angry at Kadosh Baruch Hu. They put, you know, in the suggestion box, they had a taina against the Ribbono Shel Olam. They didn't like, right, what Kadosh Baruch Hu had done. Then the third day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the trees. And Kadosh Baruch Hu had intended when he created the trees, it would be Eitz Peri Oisa Peri Leminoia. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it not only to produce fruit, but the flavor of the fruit should be pleasant in the bark of the tree too. But Rashi says the trees rebelled, and they didn't do it. That's why the pasuk says, V'toytzei Aretz Eitz Oisa Peri. The tree tasted, produced fruit, but the tree itself did not have the flavor of the fruit. They rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the fourth day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon. We know the Gemara says in Masechta Sechuah and that the moon got angry. He said, "Ein shnei malachim mishtamchim b'keser echad." Two kings can't rule with the same crown. It's me or him. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He was memai to Levana, and he left the sun as it was. Already machloek is breaking out between the Balabatim, between the sun and the moon. There's no shalom over here. And then on the fifth day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the fish. The Levyasan ate its partner. So there was no more, Leviathan was able to reproduce. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take this Leviathan, who was an enormous fish, and put it away for the tzaddik and Maslava. We know the Indian of having fish on Shabbos, what happened to Leviathan, whatever it is. Leviathan is gone. The fifth day of creation also went awry. And the sixth day of creation, we don't need to talk about. That was the chait of Adam HaRishon. So every single day of creation, there's problems. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his midah is emes. The Torah begins with emes. Rosh Devarcha emes. The first words in the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, says the Baal HaTurim. Soifei Tevos, you look at every last letter of each word, spells out the word emes. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Chai Samosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signet ring, his signature is truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a, you know, this is a, what kind of cover up is this? Today this would be a scandal. Every day of creation there were problems, and the Torah makes it as if, nah, we sweep it under the rug, it's all fine. You know, but yeah, the Kimis, the Arkitai, because Rachel saw everything he did and he patted himself on the back. What's going on over here? So I believe that the answer is yes, yes, of course. Sometimes things don't work out as we had hoped. And we have to recognize that. Because Rachel did, created the world in this fashion with all these problems to show us that sometimes at the beginning of the year, look at all these problems they had at the beginning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We hope to come back after Sukkot. Who knows? You know, this the world is changing day by day over here. So there could be problems, cultures, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have to have contingency plans for that as we begin the new year. But there's an important counter message. Something else we have to keep in mind, and that is even if we encounter problems, a person should never become depressed about it. He doesn't have to define himself about it. Yes, these things occurred. I don't have to make it my name. I don't have to let it, limit me in the future. A person doesn't have to define himself by his mistakes. He has to deal with them. He has to recognize them and adjust accordingly. We don't have to be defined by that. We can define ourselves by Yaro Lakim as the Arkintoy. What happens right after Chav gives Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas? What does Adam HaRishon do after they resolve the situation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're kicked out of Gan Eden. What does he do? He gives her a name. And what's the name he gives her? What would you name her? A woman who brought about Adam HaRishon, inspired him, instigated him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which brought death to the world. What is the last thing in the world you would name her? I don't know if you want to name her Mavis. That's not a nice thing, right? But you, would you name her Chava? He was the aim, Kol Chai. She was the mother of everything. It seems ludicrous. She brought death to the world. Not her fault, whatever it is. But you're going to name her life? So the answer is, says the Alter from Talmud, Adam HaRishon was teaching Chava, you made a mistake. We both made a mistake. We all make mistakes. You don't have to be defined by your mistakes. That's not your name. Your name is the Mavis. Your name is Chava. You can overcome that. We can overcome all the challenges that are in front of us. We don't have to be defined by that. We're all dealing with the situation. We don't need to discuss. We discuss it ad nauseum. However, even though we're dealing with this, and we have to adjust accordingly and make contingency plans, and it's not a schmuck. This doesn't have to define everything that we do. We don't have to talk about it constantly. It doesn't have to be our name. It doesn't have to be this year's the Corona year. It is. We're going to adjust to it. There are many problems at the beginning of the Bria. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Vayal Elokim Asahar Kitoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't define himself by that mistake. Chava had the name of Chava, even though she brought death to the world through the eating from the Yetz Hadas. And so too, we have these challenges in front of us. We're determined, not a fallback plan, chas v'shalom, a contingency plan for all the different contingencies. That's a responsible thing to do. And we can't get depressed about it, but we also don't have to be defined by it. We can define ourselves as on our own terms. And it's Hashem, if we plug away, if we commit ourselves to a new year of Avodas Hashem, that we have great hatzlacha in our learning and our Avodas Hashem. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu inscribe us and seal us all for Gemar v'chasimah Taiva. Shalom.